This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 16th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, urban farming and changing locations. We'll get a story from the Environment Report's Shauna Lee. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. First, a look at today's news. The nation's second largest mall operator, which runs Marketplace Mall in Champaign, today filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Chicago-based General Growth Properties made the move because it couldn't get more time to refinance the debt it racked up during the housing boom. Documents show that General Growth had about $29.6 billion in assets and more than $27 billion in liabilities as of December 31st. Chapter 11 protection typically allows a company to hold off creditors and operate as normal while it develops a financial reorganization plan. General Growth says shoppers at its malls won't be affected by its decision to file for bankruptcy. It has a stake in more than 200 malls in 44 states, including Watertower Place in Chicago, Northbrook Court in suburban Chicago, and the mall in Champaign. Champaign's Westside Park was one of the scenes of a national day of protest yesterday against taxation and other government policies. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
Talk radio and Fox News generated interest in the so-called Tea Party rallies, but the coordinator of the Champaign event says the internet spurred most of its roughly 400 participants to turn out to hear speakers like Constitution Party candidate for governor Randy Stuffelbeam. Some people shouted in agreement.
Okay, there it is. I heard taxation, but that wasn't it. It was taxation without representation. Say it with me. Taxation without representation.
Stuffelbeam was talking about the origins of the American Revolution. Coordinator Kevin Waite says the rally was intended to express anger over government policies, not necessarily one party or official, though some of the anger was directed at the Democratic congressional majority and President Obama. Waite says fear has gotten others paying more attention to the government. Rich Buckler of Arthur counts himself among them.
My biggest fear is what I see the country moving towards as far as everybody expecting handouts, everybody expecting the answer to come into their pocket from the government.
Some decorated picket signs with tea bags during the rally, with at least two participants wearing Revolutionary War-style powdered wigs. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Efforts to annex in properties will start in southwest Champaign near a construction project on Curtis Road. The move is intended to prevent any delay in the $11 million road widening work between Prospect and Manis Avenues, but there's no guarantee as the city and Champaign Township remain at odds. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says the township was offered a plan to be a partner in the project at no cost, but has refused to negotiate. He says that included Tuesday night's township board meeting, where Schweihart says any mention of the road project was shut down. Township Supervisor John Schmidt says he's never stood in the way of annexation, but he says judging from recent newspaper comments, the city apparently wants to act on its own.
But before we could even contact the city to see if they wanted to sit down and talk, all this got out as if we were blackmailing them. So my thought was, you know, if the city wants to talk to you, it's negotiating. If you want to talk to the city, you're blackmailing them. So I wasn't inclined to have us sit down and talk with them. Just, you know, we'll just let them do what they need to do, and that's annex the properties.
Schmidt says all he was looking for was an agreement in which the township, Champaign, and Savoy would agree to a point at which the cities would stop annexing. Schweihart says he's concerned landowners will try to hold up the city in negotiating property value, which could delay the Curtis Road work for several weeks. But Savoy Village Manager Dick Helton says officials there are already working with property owners there to annex their land, and results have been positive so far. The Illinois House has approved a ban on sending text messages while driving, and the proposal could surface in the state Senate soon. The legislation would ban composing, reading, or sending messages while driving. That includes text messages, instant messages, and emails from your cell phone, BlackBerry, or other electronic communication device. The ban also includes logging onto the internet, so updating Twitter and Facebook pages would be a big no-no. The same goes for downloading ringtones. Such activities would still be banned if you're stopped at a red light. A driver would have to pull off the road and park before texting. Illinois taxpayers who receive funds from the state income tax this year had the option of donating part of that refund to charity. There are 10 eligible causes on the Illinois income tax form, and a bill pending in Springfield would add an 11th, Crisis Nurseries. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Champaign Democrat Mike Frerichs is the Senate sponsor of a bill to add the 6 crisis nurseries in Illinois to the charity checkoff list. Frerichs says he disagrees with some legislators who think adding another charity to the list would hurt contributions to the others.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think there are people out there who support crisis nursery, and this is one more way for them to support it, and that doesn't necessarily take their dollars away from something else out there. And they're not prohibited from giving to multiple charities either.
Crisis nurseries provide free, short-term child care for families experiencing an emergency. Crisis nurseries are private agencies. Stephanie Record of the Crisis Nursery in Urbana says most of their money comes from fundraisers and individual private donations, with other funding coming from grants. Frerichs' Crisis Nursery Tax Checkoff Bill passed the Illinois Senate last month. It's now in the House under the sponsorship of Danville Republican Bill Black. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Urban farming is supposed to be a solution to getting fresh, locally produced food to city folks. The movement's taking off because a lot of cities have empty, vacant lots to plant on, but there's a problem. City governments or developers won't let growers stay on those lots forever. Shauna Lee met one urban farmer who's not worried about losing the farm.
Ken Dunn's city farm looks less like a traditional farm than a construction site. There's fence around an acre or so of soil, and then there are 2 small sheds. And there's a greenhouse, but it's not glass or anything. It's just plastic strung over a bunch of metal tubes.
These are available commercially for about $1,500 and will last for many years.
Dunn makes no apology for this makeshift feel.
This is the mobile farmstead. Our fence that surrounds this property has been in 3 locations before it arrived here, as has our tool shed and office trailer. So everything here can be picked up and moved within a week, or if necessary, within a couple days.
In fact, Dunn is planning on it. He's on land owned by the city of Chicago, and he has to move next year.
Our deal with them is that we are occupying it until they sell the property. I think it'll be having luxury condominiums here. I think they've got a price tag of $6 million on this acre. As taxpayers, we have to go for the $6 million.
But Dunn is not worried. He's lined up another lot to plant on. Dunn thinks more urban farmers should be just as mobile as he is by keeping their equipment light and scouting for the next available growing space. Here's his argument for all this. City governments or developers might let you squat on vacant land for a while, but you can't count on them selling it to you at an affordable price or just giving it to you. This seems reasonable enough, but I thought I would ask some urban farming groups how they take this mobile farm idea.
It is in my opinion that it should be permanent.
This is Erica Allen. She heads the Chicago branch of a group called Growing Power.
It shouldn't be something that you have access to a piece of land for few years and you have to move. I mean, to me, that's not agriculture.
Allen says across the country, urban farms have provided fresh food and even some jobs. She says mobile farming kind of lets city governments off easy. If urban farms are so useful, cities should help them own farmland.
I think once we were able to prove that you can grow food in the city, it can be productive, it can be beautiful, that then it's an issue of policy. You know, what's the priority? Why aren't we relegating some of the space just for urban agriculture?
Ken Dunn says he's heard this criticism before, and he calls his mobile farming approach just a little bit more realistic. Dunn says rural farmers can't grow everything they want, however they want. They have to adjust to the landscape, soil conditions, and weather. He says it's the same for urban farmers. The urban real estate market happens to value commercial and residential property more than farmland.
We have to operate it sustainably. And that is working within the forces that are operating. So sustainability means keeping operative year to year with no setbacks. And a plan move is no setback at all.
With that, Dunn has to leave. It's planting season, and he and his staff have a lot of work. They want this crop to be special, since it could be their last growing season on this vacant lot. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, we expect sunny skies, a high around 65 degrees, mostly clear tonight, the low around 42. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 70. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low in the upper 40s. Partly sunny Saturday, a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 68 degrees. Cloudy Saturday night and Sunday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 48, the high around 65. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, April 16th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.